and the worship pastor.
Oh no.
When she came off the stage, she looks at her phone and is like, "We're streaming?" She's like, "Since when did we start this?" And she brings it up and, you know, came up and asked me. I'm like, "Yeah, I just thought I'd see what happened." That meeting that week, the pastoral staff was like, you know, asking about it. She's like, "Yeah, he just did it, you know, because he felt like he should." And they're like, "How can we improve it?" So that kind of turned the hand on, we need better than what he just did.
Come into the light.
Shadow moves in the dark.
Congratulations! World's best cup of coffee.
What is it? Gaffte.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to episode 14, season 2, episode 2.
Ooh, nice. I was going to have to correct you there.
Yeah, no, I caught it.
Good job.
Coffee and gaff tape. And I'm Nate, here with my buddy Daniel.
Hey, friends.
And if you haven't seen our show, if this is the first time you are listening in or watching in, this show is all about bringing some light into the shadows of production.
Even if you don't want it.
Even if you don't want it,
we're
going to
shine that light. Shine it bright.
And we love just sharing stories from people in the production world and really celebrating together our experiences and helping us to all be better at what we do.
That's right. So today's guest, let's just say he's got tons of experience and some great stories.
Absolutely.
It is none other than David Jordan, the founder of Church Sound Media Techs, the Facebook group. Odds are out of the 81,000 and so followers or subscribers to that group, you're one of them.
I'm one
for sure. Mm-hmm. Hey, great job, Nate.
Yeah.
You're part of the group.
Part of the group.
That's right. So yeah, anyways, our conversation with him, super excited to get into that. Just to hear some stories, hear how he got started, hear how Church Sound Media Tech, Church Sound and Media Techs kind of grew out of his passion and desire to help people, which it's obviously doing 10 plus years already. So should we get into the interview?
Let's do it.
All right. Sounds good. All right, here we go. We are here with David Jordan. David, thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate
it. No problem.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, David, this is question number one. Who is David Jordan?
I'll just give you a kind of brief history of me. I was a fireman for 30 years, just retired 2 years ago, and I've always done tech stuff since I was a kid, followed my dad around doing it and his best friend at the church that we attended. And I've always been involved in that. So I was very busy when I was a fireman because I did firefighting. I was a TD at a church. Plus I did fireworks part-time at Walt Disney World.
That's amazing.
Jeez.
Stayed very, very, very busy.
Yeah.
When I retired from being a fireman, I decided to step down as a TD. And when I did that, I was contacted by Bobby at First Baptist about he needed help with events and stuff there. And I told him to sign me up. I'm like, "I'm in." He's like, "Don't you do enough?" And I kind of gave him the story because the church has a TD at was too small for me just to step back there and not do anything.
Sure.
Because if stuff went wrong, there's no way I could just sit there and let it happen.
Yeah.
So we actually changed churches at that point. So it kind of happened at the same time Bobby was needing help over at First Baptist was needing help. So I ended up being a contract worker for First Baptist Orlando.
I gotcha.
I mainly do audio stuff over there.
Got it. Okay. So you talked about kind of doing tech stuff as a kid, you know, following your dad around doing that. Tell us about like that experience and, you know, essentially like how you ended up in the shadows of production.
Is basically from that. I mean, I just grew up in it. Haven't really had any formal schooling in it. Just learned from other people and just doing it since I was probably, I don't know, 10 or so.
Jeez.
And just enjoyed it. I mean, the first time I ever ran the sound by myself was at a revival that the church was having that we were at. And my dad and his best friend were the two that did the tech stuff there. And this is back during all the analog stuff, no digital stuff, you know, at all. And they're in a bowling league and they couldn't make it that day. So I said, they let me run the whole thing. And that was back when they used to enclose most sound areas in a booth. So for me to actually see out the window, I had to sit on the back of the chair with my feet in the seat so I could see out the window.
That's awesome.
That kind of tells you how small it was.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
The pastor never knew that they weren't there. Until after the revival, he saw them at a restaurant and he's like, "What? Wait a minute. You guys weren't there tonight?"
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And he's like, who's doing the sound? And they told him, and he's like, "I never knew it." And I kind of took that as a compliment.
There you go. Distraction free.
Right. In the shadows, yeah. Seen, but what do they say? Seen, but not, no, that's not it.
Seen, but not heard.
Yeah. I don't think that's right.
Not seen and not heard.
Not seen and not heard. If nobody sees you, then that's a good sign. Right? Usually, that means everything's going right.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
So, David, it sounds like you've got, you know, it sounds like you're a little bit more audio focused. But was that obviously you also have done like a lot of other tech stuff as well? How did you kind of transition or start that learning process of like all of these different, you know, kind of dabbling like a lot of us have,
yeah,
you know, along the way in production? It's like, you know, you kind of start out in one kind of lane, mm-hmm, and then all of a sudden you start to pick up different things along the way. What was that journey like for you?
I mean, back when I was a kid, I used to, you know, I'd run cameras, I'd run the little recording deck they have and stuff like that. And then when I became a tech director, I kind of had to learn everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it was all volunteer based. Even being a tech director, it was volunteer. And I worked more hours than probably the staff did there.
Yeah. Because
I was two blocks from the church.
Wow.
So anything that would go wrong, computer wise, anything, they'd call me up, "Can you come by and look at this?"
Yeah.
So I kind of had to learn everything.
Sure.
Right.
Lighting, video, stuff like that, you know, so I know it on kind of a smaller scale because the church that I was a TD at it's probably around 300-400 people. So it's not a real big church.
Sure.
So I know the smaller scale stuff better on that end of stuff than I do the bigger stuff.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think too, something, you know, when you are at a smaller scale like that, you do need to know
to pick
everything,
a lot of hats,
because there are so many, you know, there are so many lanes, so many hats to wear, mm-hmm, that you almost are responsible for more than maybe a church at a larger scale. So totally understand.
Plus you're, you know, leading worship or something. And
yeah, leading worship, running slides from your pocket at the same time.
Yeah, good. You know.
They're running slides. We went from using, you know, overheads like everybody did,
yeah,
to the slide projector to pro presenter.
Yep. Followed the path.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Or actually PowerPoint before pro presenter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My son actually ran PowerPoint for a while, and we did it off of a laptop. And one Sunday, the worship director dropped the laptop and you couldn't even see the screen. It was all kinds of colors.
Oh, nice.
But we had ProPresenter running, you know, and it hooked to the projector, and my son just sat there and, you know, went through the slides hoping they didn't change. What slide it was on. Unless it was on.
And now everybody does intentional glitch effects in motion backgrounds.
Well, that's a filter.
It's a filter.
filter pack.
So, David, if you weren't busy enough already with all of the 18 things that you were doing at the time, what inspired you? Of course, I don't know if we've even mentioned this so far, but you are the creator of the Church Sound Media Tech Group, right? With something like I don't know how many hundred thousand people in it.
Let's see, 81,000. I have it on this other screen right here.
Yeah,
81,000. I think it's like 680 some.
Yeah,
that's amazing. So yeah, what?
81,000.
So talk us through a little bit about like when did that first start and how did you, you know, get inspired to start this community?
I actually started Church Sound Media Techs, the Facebook group, as when I was a TD at the church, because I wanted to research some gear that I wanted to buy. And me personally, I don't trust all reviews that are online from some companies.
Yeah.
As you don't know if it's just people from the company that put it on there.
Sure.
You know, you don't know everybody that works for the company,
mm-hmm.
or what. And I wanted to actually find out from other churches, you know, their take on it. So that's how it kind of got started. I started it and it was me, a couple people from my church, my family, and I just started sending out emails to local churches around me about it. And that's how I started growing it. And then I kind of held a conference, I think it was 3 years straight at my church, which was kind of to promote it some, and charged nothing to get in like the first 2 years.
Wow.
For people.
Mm.
Because, I mean, that's what I want to do is help people learn.
Yeah.
And, you know, some churches and some people can't go to some of these conferences because they're too expensive.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so I did that for like 3 years. And now with CSMT, since it's grown to the scale it is, which I had no idea it would get this far.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know, you know, that I would get 50 people in it. Right. And now I don't do a whole lot at all to promote it. It kind of promotes itself, yeah. just from the people in it.
Absolutely.
Sure. So what was the, when was the point where you, or like, was there a moment where you kind of sat back and thought, okay, this is getting way bigger than I thought it was going to be?
It was probably at the point where I had some problems in the group.
Oh, believe it or not. Okay. Yeah.
I actually admitted it myself for quite a while until this happened, because I'm like, oh, it's not that big, you know? And I was in a meeting at the fire department in a class, and my phone was blowing up because the people in the group, there's some stuff posted that shouldn't even be, you know, on Facebook or in a church group for sure.
Yeah, sure.
And I had no idea, you know, what was going on. And they're my phone's blowing up and they're like, we're going to leave the group if you don't do something about this and blah, 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 blah. And Facebook was harder to navigate on a phone back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So during one of the breaks, I finally deleted what was going on. It took me like 20 minutes to find the person in the list of people because it wasn't alphabetized. You couldn't search it or anything to actually get rid of the person out of the group. And then at that point, I forget how many people were there, if I had 1,000 yet or not. But at that point, I decided to bring on some people to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I brought on James Hurley, which I brought on him and Kyle Stefanowicz, which passed away a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it grew, I ended up bringing on more moderators just to help out. And I tried to get some that are in a different time zone than me. So, you know, when I'm sleeping.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's going on. It's, yeah. You know, it's 24 hours and it reaches. It's amazing how, you know, far around the globe people are that are on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's from people from everywhere, any kind of church. You know, I don't really exclude a whole lot of people from the group. There's people that aren't churches even in the group.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, so talk to us about like your, so obviously Church Sound Media Techs has grown to a scale that, you know, it's too big for one person to manage. With that growth comes greater impact. And so like looking back now and seeing, you know, the thousands and thousands of church texts that have found, you know, community, found answers there. What is that like for you to kind of look at it now and just kind of realize the impact and the impact and community that you've had blossom there?
I basically treat it kind of like a ministry, like a church would have, and you know, like an outreach ministry. And I mean, I'm on the internet probably way too much.
Aren't we all?
Most of it's because of the group, you know?
Yeah. And
that's kind of how I treat it, you know, just reaching out to other churches, because I've always enjoyed helping other people and everything. I mean, that's basically why I became a fireman, because I like helping people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same way tech wise, you know, if somebody calls me up, you know, I've been to some little churches that, you know, have like 50 people in it. They're like, hey, can you come by and look at our stuff? I go by there and help them out. And they're like, how much should are you going to charge us? I'm like, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you don't.
That's, yeah. That's amazing. Because honestly, like, that's not the norm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, you know, it's no surprise we all talk about the church production community, and the typical church tech people are not necessarily always the most social and, you know, hey, we're going to get together type of people. So it's cool that, you know, you're able to foster an environment where people help other people and encourage other people. And for a Facebook group too, I mean, with that many members, it's amazing to me just how positive it remains in that community too. It's a really cool thing. Yeah, so
there's a downside to having that many members.
Yeah.
Because with 81,000 members, you have 81,000 opinions on how things should be done.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so you kind of have to filter through some of it because, you know, is it all right?
Right. Yeah. You know, yeah, no, and absolutely.
Sometimes there's more than one thing, one way to do stuff. You know, it might not be the correct way, but it still works.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you have any like stories of impact? I mean, from your time, I it's probably been running how many years? A long time.
Does it even say on here?
Because
I actually started the group and then had to relaunch it because Facebook contacted me and told me they're going to redo the way groups were going. And I needed to restart the group. So I ended up deleting it and restarting it.
Oh, wow.
So it was the one I have now was created 10 years ago.
That's crazy. Jeez. That's amazing. Yeah. Church tech, it'd be really interesting to look back, you know, 10 years ago. I don't know if you can sort by date, but looking at the topics of what people were
talking about. What was the question 10 years ago?
I'd have to look back at that. That's kind of, I never thought about that.
A little throwback Thursday for you. We'll throw back Thursday.
This guy was asking about
what's an SM58?
Right.
Because I know during the whole COVID outbreak.
Oh my goodness. Gosh, yeah.
It was, it was just blowing up about, you know, how you stream.
Right.
Yep.
The churches that have never streamed before didn't even think about streaming.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, need to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it went crazy.
So kind of speaking of some of those trends and things that are, you know, changing, like we've obviously seen, I think, the church production world change a lot in the past year, certainly in the past 10 years. But what are some things that you see right now or some trends that you're seeing that you really think are going to be, you know, pivotal in the way that the church and, you know, production world works in the next few years?
That's a hard question. As far as how the churches put on their production or?
Yeah, I guess the heart of the question would be like, you know, obviously you've seen a lot change over the past, you know, however many years, not only, you know, pre-church sound and media techs, you know, you've been in the production world for a long time. You've seen trends come and go. Things stick around, and things kind of fall by the wayside. What have you seen recently that you think is going to stick around when it comes to church production trends and technology that you think will really help advance the gospel?
I think possibly, because there's a lot of churches out there now that launch campuses that don't, they don't have a, like a live pastor there. They do video venues. And I think that's become a more and more prevalent because in my opinion, it's kind of easier to launch a church that way. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, some have campus pastors, they'll do live music, but the actual preaching is done stream wise.
Yeah.
Basically to the other campuses. I see a lot more of that going on in churches. I mean, it all, I guess it all depends on the audience that you have too.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Because I mean, I helped out at Elevation Orlando for a while. I still do when I have time.
Yeah.
And they're a video venue. They have a campus pastor. They do live worship. They actually link up with the main church for the last song usually and mm-hmm. do the last song together, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then probably 98 to 99% of the services are done video wise. And I mean, I think that's just become a more prevalent that way because it's easier to start another church, I think. Another thing is just the technology behind everything. It's, I mean, it grows like yearly. Every year they're coming out with something new. And just video-wise, internet-wise, there's more people on online, more churches streaming than ever before. COVID kind of launched some of that. But nowadays is what's different than when back when I started is you have the internet. And I taught at a conference, MOTX, for a few years when they were having that. And I did like an online class. And I always told people that most people nowadays will check you out on the internet before they ever step foot in your church.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
So what you put on the internet is very important, mm-hmm. you know, quality-wise. Mm. Because I if they can't hear what's going on, you know, there's really no need to have it on the internet.
Yeah.
They can't hear.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's the main thing we're there for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just the quality of the video. So, I mean, I think that's a huge thing nowadays.
Sure.
Which is different than in the past. Because in the past, you used to have to physically go to churches to check them out.
Right.
Nowadays, I mean, you can bring up, I mean, I was there for a while. I was bringing up like five or six churches on Sundays, just listening to their broadcast mix to see what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Just to compare, you know.
What would you say, David? Like what, you know, obviously you do a lot of helping and consulting with churches. What would you say are kind of the big pain points or even from what you see in the group too? Like what are some areas where you go into a church and you say, man, like these are really the big things that are distracting your audience or are hindering you from creating a good production experience?
Most of it actually spawns before they even have their service. It's just the tech team and the worship team molding and getting along with each other.
Mm.
Some of them have a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know, because their worship pastor wants to control everything. They don't really trust the audio tech that's running front of house or whatever, or what it sounds like. You know, they're trying to control from the stage. Hey, you know, I think you need to turn the guitar up more. But yet at front of house, the guy's like, it's way loud enough.
Yeah.
You know, just it's, and I think some of the digital stuff is helping with that in some churches because you can actually bring up your iPad on some consoles now and walk down and interact with the team as you're changing stuff, which I think helps. I think that's a huge thing is just getting that together before you even put on a service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting the foundation set.
So with
because you don't have that interaction between each other and a good, you know, relationship, mm-hmm. it's harder to produce a good service.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with your audience of, you know, 81,000, and you have a, you know, you have a tremendous platform to really share, you know, your learnings and, you know, things that you've experienced along the way. What would you say, you know, if you had all 81,000 of those people and the very small sliver of people that listen to this podcast as well, when it comes to that relationship dynamic between production and worship, like how would you coach production specifically in a way that would help them, you know, kind of create that relationship in a more positive way? What would you say to someone on production trying to navigate that?
Some of it's attitudes. I mean, a lot of tech people in general are kind of like behind the scenes. They like working behind the scenes. They don't like being seen. You know, they're kind of recluse. They don't interact with people well sometimes. But you have to break that down and really sit down with the worship leader, worship team, and interact with them more. The more you interact with them, the more you become kind of friends with them, mm-hmm. the easier it is. Mm. The monitor engineer at First Baptist Orlando, I never thought about this until, I think it was a couple months ago, she was telling me that she likes running monitors for that purpose, because she sits on the stage and she gets to interact with the team more, because they're, you know, they're coming over and talking to her, and, you know, and that helps with her knowing what they need.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and they, it's just an interaction thing. And until you become, you know, create that bond, it's harder to get along with each other. And am I getting off track or no?
No, no, that's great. That's perfect.
Yeah, I love it. One question I would ask too is just even kind of on a broader scale, from your history of, you know, many, many years being involved in production and your 10 years plus being, you know, the host of this community, like what, you know, what kind of encouragement or what message would you say the church production community needs to hear most often?
Good question.
Like, you know, what encouragement would you give them in order to continue doing their best?
I would say, you know, you have to have the heart for it, the be for one. You know, you have to have the willing to be a servant and kind of go with what your church has in store, you know, what they deem this is, you know, how we want our services to run, type deal. And sometimes you have to just bite your tongue and go with what's going on. Hmm. You know, just not to make waves, but don't feel that you have to say yes all the time.
Yeah. Preach it.
Because there's times that they're, you know, you're sitting in a meeting with the pastor and worship pastor and everything. And they come up with some idea because they saw it at another church.
Right.
And that's what I see happen a lot, especially in the smaller churches. You know, well, they're doing it. How come we can't do it? You know, and sometimes the pastors want to push that idea, but you don't have the resources or the infrastructure to handle it. And you just have to tell them, you know, we can't do that at this time unless we do all this first.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, and hopefully, you know, the leadership will listen and go that route. But sometimes, you know, they want to push it through anyway, which makes it a little difficult. But
yeah,
difficult to say the least.
Yeah,
that's a total other thing.
Yeah. No. So actually, you know, while we're on that train, like, you know, I think one of the biggest things in production, you know, that we can deal with is whether it's an idea from the production team that we're like, hey, we want to do this new thing, or it's an idea from the leadership team and it's like, hey, we want to do this new thing. You know, how have you found is the best way to navigate that kind of like leadership and production relationship when it comes to, you know, whether that's paving new ground when in a live stream or deciding to, you know, kind of do a new initiative through, you know, the production team? What would you say is like the best way to kind of, you know, build that trust between leadership and production that you've kind of come across in your experiences?
I'm going to kind of answer this with a story I have.
Please.
This might answer your question.
Story time.
The church I was TDing at wasn't a big church. You know, we weren't streaming for a while. And they kept saying, hey, we need the stream. We need the stream. I'm like, I don't want to do it unless we do it the right way with the right equipment. Some of that was kind of selfish on my part because I didn't want people knowing I have, you know, this CSMT group and people going to the church that I TD at and bring up the live stream and it looking like crap.
Sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, you got a lot of pressure on that in that way, I suppose.
Some of that selfish on my part, I think.
Yeah.
But on another part, I wanted to present the church in a good manner.
Absolutely.
And this, they kept asking Wednesday. I think it was on a Wednesday. It's either Wednesday or Sunday night. I forget which one. It just hit me as like, why don't I do this and just see what happens? So I actually launched, because I ran their Facebook pages and everything, I actually started them all for them. So I actually did it off of my iPhone. And the worship pastor.
Oh, no.
When she came off the stage, she looks at her phone and it's like, we're streaming? She's like, since when did we start this? And she brings it up and you know, came up and asked me. I'm like, yeah, I just thought I'd see what happened. And their meeting that week, because I was volunteer, so I wasn't involved with all the meetings that the staff had. They had a staff meeting every week. That meeting that week, the pastoral staff was like, you know, asking about it. And she's like, yeah, he just did it, you know, because he felt like he should. And they're like, how can we improve it? So that kind of turned the hand on, we need better equipment than what he just did. So sometimes you have to do something that you really don't want to do to kind of show them that, yeah, we can do this, but this is what it looks like type thing. And sometimes that makes them like, oh yeah, you know, this is cool. How can we fix it?
Yeah.
So we actually spent some money and did it better than just an iPhone.
Yeah.
And now they have, you know, I ended up getting some cameras for them before I left there.
That's that brilliant. Were
pretty nice.
I think
that another church was selling.
I think that's just a good message too, that like, you know, sometimes you just need to get started on something and like,
yeah, proof of concept or something.
You know, it doesn't have to be perfect at the beginning and, you know, we're all learning. It doesn't also mean, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, broadcast things completely wide. You can kind of start things incrementally and slow and everything, but yeah, it's pretty cool when you can, start something and show the heart behind it and, you know, build on it.
Brilliant. All right.
I think that kind of.
That was great. Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah. A lot of learnings in that story for sure. Okay. So we're getting closer to the end of our time, but one question I definitely wanted to ask was, you know, obviously you've seen a lot of, you know, questions, a lot of, you know, I guess I would say like technology pain enter the group. You know, in church sound and media techs. And because of that, I'm going to assume that there's been a lot of, you know, really constructive conversations and great learnings through that group. Are there any particular like success stories or, you know, like kind of like key stories that you're like, this is why I started this group. Like this is the payoff for all of the hours moderating,
right,
and all of the different conversations you've had to jump into, because you know, so this person or this team, you know, received this bit of information, and you know, if it wasn't for this group, maybe that wouldn't have happened.
I don't have them offhand. There's been a few posts by people that come on and say, you know, how much they've learned and how much their church has advanced just because of the group, which I think is very, very cool.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I need to start archiving some of that stuff, or, you know, at least copying it and putting it somewhere. Cause I mean, that's the whole basis behind the group, is to help other churches out. And I really wish some of the bigger churches would reach out a little bit more to some of the smaller churches in their area, or vice versa. The smaller churches get with the bigger churches and help each other. Cause that's kind of how I got involved at First Baptist Orlando.
Yeah.
Back when I was a TD, I would go over the First Baptist every now and then and pick the brain. Yes, I couldn't do what they were doing because the scale they do it on, but it gave me ideas on how to better what I had. And just because of that relationship, that's how, you know, I knew Bobby and stuff. And it, you know, and it, just him reaching out, needing more help over there, you know, when I was transitioning, that's how I kind of just slid right in over there.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of wisdom in that too. Just the,
that's a big thing for smaller churches. Yeah. If they can,
yeah,
find a church in their area where they can kind of bond with them and have that mentorship, if you want to say, you know, in the same way in our group. I mean, there's people in our group that have way more knowledge than I'll ever have in the tech field, but some of them stay hidden where you don't know it. And they answer a question here or there, you know, and I know some of them that are in the group. So if people really have a question that they don't feel is getting answered right, if they would message me about it, I can a lot of times, you know, point them in the right direction, to who to talk to.
Yeah. I feel like that's huge. Like learning from each other.
Yeah.
I know that there's,
in the grand scheme of things, we're all in it for the same thing.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like there can be an element of, I think there's a combination of factors that prevent production people from interacting with each other. One, you know, a lot of us don't want to be seen. We just put our head down and get the work done. There's also like this element of like competition of like, oh, like this church is like doing something the way that I either would never do, or I wish I could do, and I don't have the resources to do it. And so like all of a sudden there becomes this like negative kind of connection with a church that might actually be able to really help mentor you, like, right, you know, like David was saying, and really being able to better what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then you're also creating that relationship,
yeah,
and kind of that two-way conversation.
Yeah. And it takes that other church, that larger church too, that, you know, I think it's good inspiration from those leaders to, hey, you know, look for those opportunities to mentor people. And
yes,
I know I've been on the receiving end of that many times where I've been able to, you know, be mentored by somebody who's been doing it a lot longer than I have. And, you know, when they're humble about it,
yeah,
and, you know, willing to pour into you, it's an amazing thing.
And I think too, that can also be the perspective of someone maybe at a smaller church that's getting from the bigger church of like, oh, they don't have time for me.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, they'll never understand, you know, my system or what I'm dealing with, because like they've got, you know, a Ross, you know, Furio swinging around in their auditorium, and I've got a little Rhino slider. Nothing against Rhino sliders. They're great. But you know what I mean? So
one of the times I was at First Baptist visiting over there, I came home and I actually wrote an article, which magazine it got published in. But I realized this was before they did their whole renovation of the sanctuary and their audio and production room and everything. And it dawned on me after talking with them that they have the same problems smaller churches do, yeah, but just at a larger scale.
Right.
There you go.
Because they're wanting to upgrade their cameras. But when you're up, a smaller church, you know, has problems getting one or two cameras. When they upgraded their cameras, they needed to do all of them at once. You know, I think that at that time they're running like five or six cameras in the sanctuary. So when you need to buy that many cameras, you know, at the high quality that they needed to be, you know, on TV, online, and, you know, to keep the presence they had, they still had problems buying all those because of the price point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the same problem the smaller church has buying one or two cameras.
There you go.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that sometimes the, yes, they're a large church, but they still have some of the same problems that the smaller churches
do. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that kind of put that in perspective.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
David, I know, you know, one of the questions we always love to ask, and we've talked a lot about heart and just heart of the community. But I'd love to know from you personally, you know, gear's great, church tech is great, being involved in production is great, but at the end of the day, you know, what is your why? What is at the heart of what you do?
I mean, I just do it to help people. I just love helping people. You know,
yeah.
Helping people, you know, help. Hopefully it ministers to them, you know, this, through the group and everything. That's why I don't specifically, you know, if you're doing something on the group that you shouldn't be doing, you know, I'll send you a message. But there's people on there that don't have anything to do with churches. And some people ask me, why do you do that? It's to minister to them. I use this as a ministry.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Maybe through the group, they might end up going to a church and end up, you know, being saved. And that's the long-term goal, I guess, if you want to call it that.
It's awesome.
That is amazing.
More people, you know, have a relationship with God.
Well said, David. Well said.
Absolutely.
All right. This is the saddest part of the podcast. We're out of time. But thank you, David, so much.
Thank you so much
for sharing your time and experience with us. So enjoyed helpful. It. And yeah, amazing time.
Absolutely.
All right. We will hopefully talk to you soon, David. Have a good one. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You and Owen Wilson?
That's my best Owen Wilson.
really, though.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So cool. You know, it's just amazing to hear from someone that has that much experience. And not only the experience, but also like the experience in seeing other people ask questions through that community of Church Sound Media Techs. Man,
well,
so cool.
And being in that group for a long time, I mean, since I was, you know,
a wee lad.
Yeah. Long time ago in church production, you know, I think it's really cool that like to see the heart behind the group, which is helping others.
Yeah.
And that's David's heart.
I knew that was going to be his answer to that last question.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to help people.
Right. And it's like, well, yeah, of course. I mean, you've been, you know, before this, you ran into burning houses, helping people.
Yeah.
And no, now you run into burning tech situations.
Oh, I hope they're not burning.
Helping people. Sometimes they probably are, metaphorically or physically.
That's a horrible visual, man.
You know, but yeah, and I think that's a good reminder to everyone, just like we were saying too. I mean, if you've got something, you've got something to give. I don't care how big your church is or how big your production is. You've always got somebody who's learning and has been doing it. Even if you've been doing it for 2 days, you got somebody who's been doing it for 1 day. Yeah. So pour into people. And look for that opportunity to be able to do that. And you know, don't just be siloed. That's a, I think, recurring theme of this podcast.
No, absolutely. And it feels like it's something that we all should be doing. And yet it's like, it's so rare.
Yeah.
Like the church I go to, I walked up to the tech booth because I took Ryan Ellis's advice from episode 2.
Wow.
And, you know, my wife was out of town. I just, you know, had the kids at church and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to go see like if they need any help. And later, so like I walk up and I'm like, hey, you know, can I like run slides? Like, are you guys shorthanded today? And they're like, no, like we're good.
Got transparent seats.
And yeah. And they later, like, you know, they were like, yeah, we were like, who is this guy? Like, why? No, who does that? Like,
yeah,
it just says like, hey, can I help?
Yeah.
And I was just like, I was like, that shouldn't be such a rare thing. Like we should, we should just be like opening ourselves up and saying, hey, like, you know, what can I learn from you?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It'd be awesome.
Well, if you're not in the Church Sound Media text group, you should definitely join
it. Absolutely. We will link that in the podcast for sure.
I'm sure you probably are, but if you're not,
go there.
Yeah.
Tell them Rezzy sent you. Nothing will happen with that. Definitely do that. While you're online, hit like, subscribe, follow. Mm-hmm. Apple like is changing it now. It's like you don't subscribe, you follow. Yeah. So follow the show.
Yeah, we appreciate you all. Thanks for your reviews as well.
Yeah,
it means a lot to us.
Seriously, please leave us a review. It's, you know, one of the ways that we're able to hear back from you guys and hear how the show is impacting you and, you know, helping you guys feel seen, loved, appreciated, because the shadows can be a lonely place.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you do feel siloed, but here that is not the case. You're part of the fam, and we're so thankful that you choose to spend an hour or so every month with us. So super appreciative of that.
For sure.
That's it, right?
Gotta do it.
All right. See you next time.
See you guys.
Goodbye.
Thank you.